online on your smartphone or on your favorite podcast app. This is
the JJC Podcast Experience.
Hi guys, we're here with the JJC Podcast Experience, and today we're here with Sashil Mistry, myself,
Duncan Ego,
and Munasha Karambo.
Okay, guys, so today we're going to be speaking about how Gen Z, or is Gen Z desensitized to violence in the media? So I don't know if any of you guys have opinions on that yet, not yet. Any statements to make before we begin?
I think we should start with you, Tashil.
Okay, so basically, my first thing is, do you believe we've desensitized? Are we desensitized to violence in the media?
I think we're as desensitized to every other generation in the past. I mean, if you think about it, our generation compared to other generations, it's probably had less fighting. I mean, if you look at war babies, I mean, think about how much violence they experienced. And I think we're almost identical to how they reacted to it. I think we just get on with our lives and yeah.
So it's kind of like each generation has their own sense, different kind of desensitization in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like it's very unique in the sense that we, the 21st century generation, Gen Z, whatever you want to call us, we have access to social media and we see so much on a daily basis. Like, for example, if you just go on social media, if you're an advocate or something and you follow a lot of pages, you'll see there's like the Israel-Palestine situation, there's the India-Pakistan situation.
Do you believe everything you see on the news? Like, not on the news, sorry, on like social media.
No, we have to be aware of what's going on, but you also can't accept everything.
I think a lot of people, news programs or social media programs especially, sometimes they do sort of voice what they want people to hear. If it's an organization where they're for Palestine or for Israel, they would sort. We all know the Palestinian and what Israel is going on.
It's always going to be biased, yeah, essentially.
Exactly. It's always going to be biased, yeah, to what you want. So one organization would be so pro-Israel that they would make Palestine look like they are in the wrong instead of making it look neutral. But then on Palestine's side, if there's a sort of organization that's pro-Palestine side, then they would make Israel look like everything they're doing is wrong and Palestinians are right. But there's always two sides to the story. And that's the problem with bias, is that no one ever wants to voice those two sides. They want to voice a side they think suits them well.
So surely then it's our responsibility, though, to look at the two different sides.
Exactly.
So, and then kind of get your own opinion on where you stand.
Mm.
But also, in saying all of that, I think it's hard to believe everything that they say, because when bias comes into play, people are going to lie.
Exactly. Exactly. That's where it comes in with wanting people to believe what you believe. Because you have to get people on your side.
So if we bring this back to the original question, what can we gather from that? That everything, all the violence that we see, we often like just don't look at it.
We don't know
if
it's real.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
So like maybe people see it as desensitization, but I mean, if you hear somebody's died and then the next day you hear that it just wasn't true.
Mm.
If you hear something like that in the future, you're not going to be as sad because you don't know if it's true. Like it's a bad like explanation, but it follows the same concept, is that how can I be so touched on something before I know everything that's happened if I can't trust that source?
Yeah,
exactly.
But like, obviously when it's a real life situation, for example, if especially in the South African context, if you're in a car and you try to get hijacked or something, obviously then we traumatized by that.
Yeah.
So is the desensitization only from social media or?
Yeah, I would say it's a big thing from social media. I mean, like my girlfriend was in a car crash like 3 weeks ago and like, I remember that. I wouldn't say I was desensitized at all. Like I was like quite emotional and like I wasn't even in it, but because of it, like I kind of like felt pain towards it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think because I knew it was true and I knew it was like a first source thing. So I do think social media is like the biggest reason.
Mm. And with social media, like what Duncan was saying about his girlfriend, he knew that it had happened.
Yeah.
With social media, we kind of have to force ourselves to feel that way because we don't know what's going on. But when they tell us what is going on and true or not, we sympathize with that and we feel sort of feeling sorry or happy for whatever is going on. So we have to depend on what is sent to us through the media, whether it desensitized or not.
So even like last year with the George Floyd situation, I'm sure everyone remembers.
Yeah.
that even though it was came across through social media, it was so real everywhere in the world that we had to make our voices heard.
Yeah.
So it's always context dependent, I think.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at COVID, for example, I mean, I don't know what the death count is at the moment. I'm sure it's like above, I can't say.
Crazy high numbers.
Yeah, it's crazy numbers. Like, and we've almost just accepted it. You know what I mean? Like people are going to die and we have to get over it. And like, I actually do think that is a little bit of desensitization. Like we've just accepted that.
But I think it's also like a coping mechanism. If we had to like look at everyone's death and like analyze it and feel that emotion, we'd be traumatized for life. We wouldn't cope on a daily basis.
That is true. But at the same time, that person that died, I mean, let's say somebody died from a shooting like in America compared to dying in COVID, who do you think gets more recognized?
I'd say the shooting.
I'd say the shooting.
Because COVID is something that's going on all around.
So many people. Yeah.
So do you think that's right though?
It's not right. Every death is wrong. Yeah. No matter what causes a problem, it's wrong. But we sort of have to look at what can be concentrated more on. If there's a COVID death and then there's a murder death, the COVID death is sort of a worldwide thing. So everyone's going through that. But with a shooting, that's the country's problem themselves, not the whole world.
Fair.
COVID is the whole world, but a country's problem, they have to deal with that. They have to send the police out, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tashir, what do you think?
I think it's a very unique situation because a shooter versus COVID, they're two extremely different circumstances and contexts.
Hmm.
So should I feel worse for somebody that's died to a shooting than to somebody that's died to COVID? If I don't know them from a bar of soap, so let's say somebody random dies from a shooting or somebody dies randomly of COVID.
The person with COVID was obviously statistically more likely to die in a sense, because if they had a comorbidity or whatever, it could have been inevitable. We don't know the circumstances of their sickness. But the shooter, that person was innocent for all we know.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything wrong. So I think we do feel more bad for the shooter, the victim of the shooter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But in saying that, all of that, we feel bad. So then surely we're not that desensitized. You know what I mean? Because we know that that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but then there's a completely different stance that our generation is oversensitive. What do you think about that?
I think that is very correct.
Yeah.
My generation, of course, we're oversensitive, because if you look at things in the past and if you look at it today, the smallest thing could offend someone. And the thing is, that's limiting us from moving on.
Yeah.
It's limiting us from growing. Because
From
forgiving people.
Yeah.
In the past, they made so many mistakes. Sure, we remember them, but people have been forgiven. Now, if one person decides to do something that is so, looking at, can I take an example? You know Johnny Depp and his wife, whole story.
Yes.
For some reason, Johnny Depp is blamed because he's a guy, he's a man. People blame him. And the sense of being oversensitive to that topic, as in, oh no, it's a guy's fault because there's that gender-based violence is normally with men. Instead of looking at the point of, it's a marriage,
yeah,
and the woman is hurting the man. So I think we are oversensitive.
I agree.
We need to we need to be stronger than we are already, because like I said, you can't move on without being strong.
We need to build a balance basically between the difference between raising awareness and letting people know versus becoming emotional about
exactly
that. Exactly.
Yeah. With George Floyd, all of a sudden all cops are bad. And that's ridiculous. You can't assume that all cops are bad, because one of these cops are protecting you from your house getting broken in. These cops are protecting you from getting hijacked. And also with the kill all men thing, that I think is over the top, because basically you're saying, kill my dad, kill my brother.
Yeah.
It's oversensitive because you're looking at things on a whole, not as a single person who made a mistake, and you're not going to forgive. It's what I think is limiting us from moving on. We're not going to go forward until we fix that.
Yeah. I also think people can't really take a joke anymore. Like, if that makes sense. Like, somebody will say something so, like, non-judgmental almost, or something non-like, not in a bad way, and that person will take it into his own context and not think about how that person meant it and get so offended.
Like satire and stuff.
Like satire, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's not a thing anymore, satire.
Also, things have just been taken so out of context. Like, if you look at an example, I'm sure we all know The Simpsons. There's the Indian character called Apu.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was an issue where the man who does the voice for him was being labeled a racist because he was doing the Indian guy's voice and he's a white person. Mm. But it's been going on for so long. Why make it an issue now? Because I don't think he meant it in a bad way. Obviously, he's just an entertainer.
Mm. Back to that with the cartoons. There's something that happened with, you all know Snow White. Yeah. They wanted to sue Disney because they said that the guy kissed Snow White without consent. And I just think that's ridiculous because it's a child's story. It's children's stories that you're ruining because you're not thinking. You're just being oversensitive to things that don't need your sensitivity.
Like, we need to draw a line on where we look at these issues and where we don't.
Yeah.
Because obviously if it comes to like sexual things, you have to ask for consent. That's very different to a story where a prince is kissing a princess.
And she wakes up.
I almost think that person must be looking for things to get mad at.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Surely you're not just watching it. Like, when I'm watching that as a kid, I don't really even know what all that stuff like is. You know what I mean? Mm.
And when you're oversensitive, you're just always looking for the bad things.
Yeah.
And the problem with looking for the bad things is you never look at the good things. Mm. And then society just becomes, there's bad things. I mean, if you look at the good things that's going on in the world and then you compare them to the bad things, no one knows about the good things because the only thing that's focused on is the bad things.
Yeah.
And then people build on those bad things because people's sensitivity gets in the way.
Yeah, I feel like people are too complacent in this day and age. Like,
that's true.
I noticed it at my school. They will often say more bad things than good things about our school. Whereas I'm so grateful for the opportunities that it's given me, you know? And I feel like people are just too complacent and looking for things to be mad at.
Yeah, instead of looking for things to be happy about.
But it's like society in general. When last did you speak to someone and you heard them say a good thing about someone else? Whereas normally they just gossip and be like, oh, I don't like this guy because he did this, or this girl irritated me because of that. It's never like, oh, she made my day happy.
It's so weird for people to be giving each other compliments these days and receiving compliments.
It's a rare occasion.
It's a rare occasion. And when it happens to you, like, what is this feeling?
Yeah.
You're not used to it. I can speak from experience. In my class, it's so rare to get a compliment because people are just laughing at each other, etc., etc. And when someone comes to you and says, you know what, it happened to you the other day, someone comes to you and says, you know, I appreciate you, you don't know what to say because you're like, I haven't heard this in a while. I haven't heard something like this. All I remember is people gossiping about me. All I remember is people saying bad things about me. Yeah.
And like, we raise so much awareness surrounding mental health and stuff, and we raising awareness on so many topics, but are we actually making that change? Where we, like you're saying, you tell someone, oh, you look really good today.
Yeah. I think another thing with the media is that your fingers on the media is another thing. But what you do in real life is something else as well. Because you can go and post and say, Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, justice for George Floyd. But then when you go into public, you're another person. You say racist slurs. You do other things that doesn't represent who you are on the media. You're just trying to create a picture for yourself.
People just jumping on the bandwagon.
Exactly, jumping on the bandwagon, which is, I think, is a big problem. And when people jump on the bandwagon, like the Shield said, you don't focus on the good things, and then you're just making a false picture, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, so it almost has to go in the opposite way. You almost have to start doing the good before you post on social media, for instance.
Like, why don't you post something good that you did instead of posting something good that you should do? Do something and then post it instead of posting something and not doing anything.
Yeah. So I think that does add to our sensitivity because we don't see all the good all the time. You know what I mean? We're looking at the bad most of the time.
Exactly.
So I think that could add to
the sensitivity. We need to learn to be more sensitive in a sense to like people's emotions and who they are as a person.
Mm. Context.
Yes. Context is a huge thing.
Yeah. And to be sensitive in your environment, in your community. Be sensitive in your community. Don't be sensitive about something that's going on in America when you can't be sensitive about a kid that's getting bullied in your class.
Get the small things right, yeah.
Exactly. Or one of your teachers is facing struggles with divorce and you can't even say, you'll be okay. Don't concentrate on the, on racism in America if you can't concentrate on racism in your own country. Don't concentrate on police brutality if you can't concentrate in your country. Remember what happened with when George Floyd died? There was a cartoon posted by, what's that guy's name?
Sabiro.
Yeah, Sabiro. I love that man. Sabiro. He posted this thing where it was Ramaphosa, it was Fikile Mbalula, and it was another minister. There was two policemen from South Africa beating someone, and they were looking away and they were staring at the billboard of George Floyd that says justice for George Floyd, which I think is ridiculous because they're not concentrating on what's going on in their own country. They're concentrating on what's going on in other countries, which goes back to the point of sensitivity of you being sensitive to something else and not doing something actually that you have the opportunity to do.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Do you think we as Gen Z, as the 21st century generation, we can make that difference?
Yes. Yes, I believe we can. Because it starts from here.
Having the conversation.
It starts from us having the conversation. It starts from you being this age, making a difference. Us three, we could make a difference. It starts from influencing people at a young mind. Because once you try influence someone who's 40, 50 years old, that mindset isn't going to change. I can give an example. Let's say you're at a school that is filled with racism, of older people that were during a South African context, during apartheid, older teachers that are 60, 70 years old that don't want to have the mindset to change. And then a teacher who is 22 years old comes into the school and wants that change. It's all about starting from the bottom, starting from our age, talking to people at our schools, giving them that perspective of you can do this, you can change. Because once that starts, they're going to reach out to more people. Because I can take it to another example. People say, you're born racist. You're not born racist.
Yeah,
your 100%. Your parents teach you racism. And if they keep teaching their kids that from a young age, they're going to be racist. In the context of apartheid, the older people taught the kids who could be our teachers now racism, and now they're racist. So it's all about the beginning. So back to what Tashiel said, us as Gen Z could make a difference if we had the motive.
Yeah, and even if we take it like back to sensitivity, just say, like, for example, in my family, there's someone that I know is a racist person and I don't appreciate what they said, but they're elder to me. How do I address that situation? We need to be sensitive as to how we speak to elders and be like, listen, grandpa, it's not right that you speak like this anymore. Hmm. Times have changed. You need to have respect for people. So I think we, even though we're younger and we children, according to a lot of people, we need to make our stance known and stand up for what we believe in, because they did that when they were young. We know a lot of our parents were like anti-apartheid activists. Yeah. They were out at protests. Mm. So it's our time now.
Yeah, it is our time.
So do you think you should waste your time though if you know that your grandpa isn't going to change? Do you think it's worth putting in the time to try to explain it to him if you know he's not going to change? Do you almost think you should give up on that person and just let them think that and not take what they say too seriously?
I think we need to make them aware of it. If we know we can't change them, I guess, especially for the much older generation, it's very hard because it's ingrained in them.
Yeah.
But for our parents and for like the generation just above us, it's those people that we need to teach to unlearn the bad habits.
Mm.
Because they're still going to be around for a lot longer.
Fair.
That's true. And you know, there's a saying, you can take a donkey to drink water, but you can't force it to drink it. And that's our parents, guys. That's our grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. You can teach them this thing, but if they're too old to understand that I need to drink this water, I need to take this in, then you're just taking them to the root of the problem, but they're not really doing anything about it. So that's what I think is a huge problem with the older generations. It's hard to change their mindsets. Like the Shield said, it's hard to change your grandpa's mindset because he's been living this in this kind of society for so long.
They don't know any better.
Exactly. They don't know any better. And now this small child is trying to come up to me saying, let's say I'm the grandpa, is trying to come up to me and tell me what I know. Tell me that I should be that I should be open-minded. Tell me that I should treat white, black, Indian the same. No, I refuse. I'll say no. I know better because I am
more experienced.
More experienced.
Yeah.
I'm older than you. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think it's a very unique context for all of us, especially being South Africans. We've experienced so much different things to the global society. Like America, they've already gone through this entire process, whereas now our generation parallel to America, they're a few steps ahead of us. We're still at the back and we need to get to that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys, I think this was a really awesome discussion.
Mm. Yeah.
Something we should have again one day.
Mm-hmm.
And just to take it, go leave here and take what we've learned and implement it into our daily lives.
Let's actually do the good, like we do said earlier. Start with us.
As a young child, it starts from you. It starts from going into class, telling your friends, leave him alone. Telling your friends, that's wrong. Being the bigger man, voicing yourself so that you can make a difference.
Yeah.
So that we can, that we are the next generation. We're the future. We're the future presidents, the future teachers. It's us. And we need to make that difference. And we do need to break loose from the mindset of older people, of their eroded and rusted mindsets. We need to freshen ourselves and break out of that.
Cool. That's it from us. Thank you for joining into the JJC Experience podcast.
This podcast was brought to you by the Johannesburg Junior Council in partnership with Red Radio.